Our gospel reading comes from Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 32. Jesus and his disciples were on their way up to Jerusalem, with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, Jesus took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other on your left in your glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" "We can," they said. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many." Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. We give thanks to God for his word. I invite you to be seated. As we transition to the message time, I invite you to open your prayer and action guides and pull out the yellow sheet that says sermon notes and response card. This is meant to be a two-way communication tool. Hopefully you hear helpful scriptures and ideas in the message. There's a spot where you can write those down. But then at the end, I'd love to hear what you feel like God is saying to you and how God is calling you to respond so that we can pray for you and support you on the journey. Now I want to invite you to join me in prayer. Let's pray. God, we come here this morning from all sorts of different places and with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. There's a desire in every human heart to make a positive impact in our world. Yet sometimes we don't know where to begin or what to do. Today we kick off a new series in which we'll highlight three of the most important things that we can do to make a positive impact in our world. The topics are included in the title: listen, love, and lead. These are three things that all of us can do, and they are all things that God does for us. The first topic is listen. We are never more aware of how important listening is than when we feel like we're not being listened to. Have any of you been in a conversation with someone who didn't listen very well? It can be quite frustrating, can it? I found a funny example from the show Big Bang Theory. In this episode from 2014, Leonard is trying to talk to Sheldon, who doesn't listen very well. See if you can relate to his frustration.
Play. 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 Play.
What are you doing?
Trying to use a Jedi mind trick to control Stephen Hawking. Play. Play. Ugh. He must be wearing a tinfoil hat or something.
I did a bad thing.
Does it affect me?
No.
Then suffer in silence. Play. 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 Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking.
Penny started taking a class. She wrote a paper. She didn't want me to read it. I went behind her back. I read it anyway.
Stephen Hawking hates me.
I don't know what to do. The paper's terrible. If I tell her, she'll know that I read it, and she'll get really mad.
I was beating him so bad, he doesn't want to be friends anymore. Why does everyone love me except Stephen Hawking?
Is it possible we're having two different conversations?
How would I know? I'm not listening to you.
Hang on. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Chess clock. We each get 5 minutes to talk about our problems. We'll take turns. Each turn will consist of a statement and a helpful response from the friend. Begin.
I humiliated Stephen Hawking in a game of words with friends. He stopped playing, and now we're not friends anymore.
He's probably busy. You're worried about nothing. Give it a couple more days. I'm sure he'll play, and you'll see that everything's fine. My turn. I can't let Penny hand in a bad paper, but how do I tell her it's bad without letting her know that I read it?
Beats me. Now, I know Hawking's not busy, but I can see he's playing other people right now.
Maybe since you're so good, he's taking his time to meet the challenge. I want Penny to enjoy some...
Wallace told me he's a big baby. I didn't know that, and I played extract for 82 points. Oh, it's all Amy's fault. She told me to play it. I've got to cut her loose.
Sheldon, I wasn't done talking. She hands in the paper tomorrow. I know I could help her, and she's my girlfriend. I should be allowed to help her. Why aren't I allowed to help her?
Yeah, I hear you, brother.
I hear you, brother, he says. Really? Is he really listening? We are never more aware of how important listening is than when we feel like we're not being listened to. One of the most important things we can do to make a positive impact in our world is to listen. God gave us two ears and one mouth. I heard someone say that's a hint from God that we should do more listening than talking. And we heard that advice in our first reading. James wrote, "My dear brothers and sisters, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." As simple as this sounds, we often have a hard time listening well. In their book, The Nine Arts of Spiritual Conversation, Mary Schaller and John Crilly describe some common characteristics of poor listening. Unfortunately, I could recognize myself in some of their descriptions. See if you can too. They write, "Some of us talk way too much and listen very little. Often we offer our unsolicited opinions. Our attention spans are short, and we formulate our responses while others are speaking. We'll often make hasty generalizations and jump to conclusions. Some of us talk over people and talk for them. We tend to cast quick judgments. Most of us are generally not curious. We're more inclined to talk about ourselves than ask about others. Some of us avoid entering into conversations at all." Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but could any of you recognize yourself in some of those patterns? We don't always do a good job of listening. You might be encouraged to know that James, the author of that first reading, wasn't always very good at listening either. In fact, he was pretty bad at it. James learned about the importance of listening from Jesus. And our gospel reading from Mark chapter 10, it's a fascinating case study on listening, both what to do and what not to do. In this passage, Jesus shows us why listening is so important and how to listen well. The scene begins with Jesus and his 12 disciples heading towards Jerusalem. Jesus knows it's not going to go well for him there. So he gathers his disciples together and he tells them that he will be betrayed, mocked, spit on, beaten, whipped, and killed. But in 3 days he would rise again. This is some heavy stuff that Jesus is sharing with his disciples. And right after Jesus gets done sharing this heavy stuff, James and his brother John come over to Jesus and say, "Hey, teacher, can you do us a favor?" It's almost like, were you even listening at all to what he was saying? I mean, he just said, "I'm going to be mocked and spit on and beaten and killed." And the first thing they say back is, "Hey, can you do us a favor?" You can almost picture Leonard from Big Bang Theory saying, "Is it possible we're having two different conversations here?" And the disciples saying, "How do we know? We're not listening." James and John, we're not listening to Jesus. Or at least, they weren't listening very well. They had a hard time hearing Jesus because they were focused on themselves and what they wanted. The same is true for us. It's hard for us to listen well to another person when we're focused on ourselves and what we want. But here's the cool thing. Even though James and John didn't listen to Jesus, Jesus listened to them. Jesus asked them questions and listened to them. I find this so remarkable and such good news. God listens to us. I mean, Jesus was God's son come to earth in the flesh. If anyone had a right to demand that other people listen to him, it was Jesus. And yet, Jesus intentionally listened to other people, even people who didn't listen very well to him. Such good news. We have a God who listens to us. Jesus taught us to pray because we have a God who wants to listen to us. I don't know, maybe you've tried prayer and you felt like you were talking to a wall or that your prayers were bouncing back from the ceiling. But nothing could be further from the truth. We have a God who listens to us. Now, God doesn't always give us what we ask for in the timeline that we would hope. Because as we heard in the scripture, we don't always know what we're asking for. We don't always have the bigger picture that God does. But here's what we can be confident of. When we speak to God, God listens to us and responds to our prayers. And Jesus came as a living example that we have a God who listens to us. And as the conversation unfolds, Jesus shows us why listening is so important and how to listen well. One reason why listening is important is because it deepens understanding. Listening deepens understanding both for the listener and for the one being listened to. I like how Dr. Rachel Naomi Remen puts it. She says, "When you listen generously to people, they can hear the truth in themselves, often for the first time." And by listening to his disciples, Jesus gains a deeper understanding of where they're coming from and what was going on beneath the surface. And Jesus shows us how to listen well. For starters, Jesus is non-reactive. If I were Jesus, I probably would have become angry with James and John for not listening to me and being so insensitive. But Jesus doesn't get angry with them. Perhaps that's where James learned the phrase, "Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." See, it's okay to feel angry, but an angry response never makes a situation better. It just never does. And before reacting, Jesus asks some clarifying questions. This is another important skill for good listening. I use a book for pre-marriage counseling that suggests several good clarifying questions. Here's a few. What did you mean when you said dot, dot, dot? Why is that important to you? What do you want me most to understand? What do you need from me most right now? Non-reactive, clarifying questions diffuse anger and deepen understanding. When I was a little boy, I used to watch the He-Man cartoon, and there was a character on it called Buzz Off. And I went to my dad one day and I said, I want Buzz Off. Now he thought I said, I want you to buzz off. Ooh, he got mad. There was some serious yelling and crying before my mom finally intervened and explained what I really wanted. And now that I'm a father, I've had moments too where my own misunderstanding resulted in angry outbursts at my kids. And I think about how those situations could play out differently if non-reactive, clarifying questions were used to diffuse anger and deepen understanding. Jesus asked his disciples, "What do you want me to do for you?" They wanted to sit at his right and at his left in their kingdom. So now we start to get a deeper understanding of where they're coming from, what's going on beneath the surface. See, they thought Jesus was going to be a conquering king who would drive out the Roman Empire and establish a new throne in Israel. They kind of missed the whole flogging and dying thing, but anyways, that was the vision that they had. And the seat at the right and left of the king were seats of honor, prestige, power. After a few more clarifying questions, it becomes clear that James and John are vying for the top positions. The other 10 disciples get angry with James and John, partly because they wanted the same thing. In the previous chapter, Mark 9, the disciples were arguing over which one of them was the greatest. And then Jesus said, "You got it wrong. You want to be first, you got to be last. You want to be great, you got to serve." Apparently, they weren't listening very well then either. And they were tripped up in the same argument. Often that happens to us too, right? We get stuck in the same old argument over and over and over again because we're not listening very well to one another. Jesus tries to break the cycle. After working really hard to listen to his disciples, he then tries to share his message again. This time the disciples seem more receptive. Here we encounter another reason why listening is so important. It builds trust. When we know that someone else is truly listening to us, it creates a bond of trust. And we then are far more open to hearing what they have to say. And Jesus explains to his disciples that he's a different kind of king with a different kind of kingdom. In our world, people try to fight one another to get ahead. They try to focus on how other people can serve them. And Jesus says, "That's not me. That's not the kind of kingdom I want to create." Because that attitude creates a really horrible environment to live in. We saw how it was tearing the disciples apart. Jesus would be a conquering king, but not like they expected. You see, he was listening from heaven, and he came to save us from our two biggest problems, sin and death. And he did us a big favor, probably the biggest favor ever, by laying down his life to save ours. He died on the cross to pay the punishment for all of our sin, and he rose from the grave so we could have hope of new life with God now and forever. When we listen to that message, that has the power to save us from our selfish, sinful pride and arrogance and transform us into people who serve others like Jesus served us. Jesus' lesson on service, it relates to the topic of listening. Because good listening is serving. In order to listen well to someone, it means laying aside your own life, your own thoughts, your own agendas, your own ideas, so that you can attend to another person and serve them. Jesus illustrates this in the very next section of Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. And the case study of listening continues. So now Jesus and his disciples, along with a large crowd, are heading out of Jericho towards Jerusalem. And a blind beggar cries out to Jesus for mercy. In that time period, most occupations required physical labor. So anybody who had a disease or a disability was at a disadvantage and often became very poor. Beggars were a common sight. so common that people stopped seeing them and started ignoring them. And we're told that many people rebuked the blind beggar and told him to be quiet. They dismissed him as someone who was not worth listening to. And this made me wonder if there's anyone that I'm dismissing, if there's anybody that I'm writing off as not worthy of listening to. Because it's easy to dismiss people who are different from us, people we disagree with, people who have certain disabilities or diseases, people who come from different backgrounds or different socioeconomic strata, people who are younger, people who are older. Is there anyone that you are dismissing? Jesus did not dismiss the man. When no one else would listen to him, Jesus listened. Isn't this great? We have a God who listens to us. And here we encounter another reason why listening is so important. It communicates value. You may have noticed that the blind man was given a name in the story. He wasn't just another blind man. His name was Bartimaeus. By listening to this man, Jesus is saying, you have value as a person. I care about what you're saying. You matter to me. You matter to God. When we listen to other people, we communicate that we value them as a person. We convey respect, dignity, worth. We show them that they matter to us. They matter to God. In response to the challenges that our teens have been facing with drug addiction and suicide, there's an organization called Kids Matter who recently did a survey of 5,000 students. Not administrators, not parents, students, to hear what was causing them stress and how they were responding. Kids Matter recently shared the results of this survey at City Hall. And I love this. By surveying our students, we're saying, hey, you're valuable to us. We value what you say. We're listening. We're here to help. And that changes the dynamic of the issue. Jesus communicates the same message to Bartimaeus. He says, you matter. I value you as a person. I value what you say. I'm listening. I'm here to help. And Jesus has the same message for each and every one of you today, no matter what you're going through in your life. He wants you to know you matter. He's listening to you, and he's here to help. During their exchange, Jesus shows us how to listen well. Jesus gives Bartimaeus his full attention. Jesus stops what he's doing. He invites Bartimaeus to come close. He looks at Bartimaeus. He focuses on what Bartimaeus is saying. He reflects back what he's hearing. These are all part of giving someone our full attention. Back in college, I learned an acronym that still to this day helps me remember how to listen well. The acronym is SOLER, S-O-L-E-R. S, be on the same level. O, open posture. L, lean in. E, eye contact. R, reflect back. Things like, what I hear you saying is, or am I correct that you feel this way? The only way to listen well to someone is to give them our full attention. I also find it interesting that Jesus doesn't assume what the man needs. He asks him, what do you want me to do for you? For us, it might seem obvious, like, okay, like he's a blind beggar on the road. I think I can figure this out. But Jesus gives the man the opportunity to name his own issue and to talk about the solution that he's seeking. The best mission organizations like World Vision don't assume they know what an impoverished area needs. When they go into that area, they form community groups to talk with the people and listen to what they think their needs are and what solutions they think. And we can apply the same principles in our interactions with people. Rather than assuming we know what other people need or what they think, we can ask and listen. And the last item in our how category is a caring response. We have to be careful in how we respond to people. I tend to want to fix things. It's a bad habit that I have. And I've learned to ask people if they want my advice or if they just want me to listen. Because sometimes the most caring response is to zip our lips and just listen. Other times, however, people want our help. Bartimaeus wanted help from Jesus. And by listening to Bartimaeus, Jesus was able to offer the caring response that Bartimaeus needed. And while we might not be able to heal people like Jesus could, all of us can offer a caring response. Last month, I attended a church conference, and I used Uber to go back and forth from the airport. On my return trip, the driver asked me where I went. I told him I went to a Christian conference. The driver responded by saying that he was Buddhist. I tried not to react and just ask questions and listen. I asked him about his history, about his family. I asked him how he became an Uber driver and what his wife did. And through our conversation, I learned that he was a cook and he had started his own restaurant, but his partner had cheated him and left him bankrupt. I learned that his wife was going back to school full-time while trying to raise three young kids. And throughout the conversation, I felt like God was leading me to pray for the man. So I asked him, you know, is there any way that I can pray for you? He said, no. Which was okay, because I was planning on praying for him anyway. But a little bit later, he said, no one's ever asked to pray for me before. I don't know how that works. By listening, I'd established enough trust with the man for him to share that with me. And so I told him, you know, I believe that there's a God who made you and cares a lot about you, and that this God listens to us when we speak to him. So is there anything specific in your life that I can talk with God about? And he shared a few things with me, and before I got out of his car, I had a chance to pray with him right there for him, for his wife, for his family. Now, I haven't seen him since, but I hope that our encounter planted some seeds of good news that one day might grow into a relationship with God. And that's the last reason why listening is so important. It forms relationships. Now, after Jesus healed Bartimaeus, he could have done anything. He could have gone anywhere. But he chose to follow alongside Jesus. He had formed a relationship with the Son of God. Listening has the power to help other people form a relationship with us and with God. Okay, so let's recap. The good news, God listens to us. You can talk to God anywhere, anytime, about anything, and know that God is listening to you. And Jesus showed us why listening is so important. It deepens understanding, builds trust, communicates value, and forms relationships. And Jesus shows us how to listen well, non-reactive, ask questions, serve, give your full attention, no assuming, a caring response. So who can you listen to? How can you listen well? What opportunities do you have this week to listen in your home, in your family, in your workplace, in your school, in your neighborhood, in your community? I wanted to close by sharing with you a fun opportunity that any of you can join in with. I was invited by Pray Naperville to participate in something called Keystone Prayer. Its roots have origins in a bishop who lived in a crime-infested city. And the bishop started gathering in public places with people to pray specifically for the city. The crime rates dropped so dramatically that the chief of police asked the bishop if he would pray in specific areas in the city. And so they prayed on a corner where there were lots of gangs, and the gangs moved away. They prayed on a corner infested with drugs. The drug use declined. And now this has become a movement that's spread across the nation, the world. And because of my role as a chaplain at the police department, they want to start a Keystone Prayer at the police department. And what we're going to do is go to the leaders of our city and ask them what they think are the biggest issues our city, our community is facing, and just listen to their responses. We'll get stats on those issues and then pray specifically for God to work powerfully in our community. And I can't wait to see what God is going to do through that. And I'd love to share the journey with any of you. Just let me know if you're interested. But the biggest question I want you to walk away with is, how is God calling you to listen? At the bottom of your sermon notes is a response card. I appreciate that you listen to me, and I want to listen to you. I want to hear what God is saying to you, how God is calling you to respond, so that I can pray for you and support you on the journey. If you put your name and your email, I promise I will pray for you and write to you. You can put your response card in the offering basket or hand it to me on your way out. You can also scan the code at the top and do it all from your phone. So I'm going to give you a few moments to pray and talk with God, and then I'll close us in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you so much for listening to us, even when we don't listen very well to you. This week, we ask for your help to be the kind of listeners that reflect our listening, God, in the world. We ask by your Spirit that you'd give us wisdom to know how to apply what we've talked about today and the courage to take the steps that you're calling us to take, so that Good Shepherd might always be a church that would reach and transform spiritually distracted people, so we all love and serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.